today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland as he teaches how dangerous it is to covet and how to lay up treasures in God for yourself instead. Next on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Let's go back to the teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, please. We're talking about covetousness. We won't take time to go over to Exodus and read the Ten Commandments there again today, but you do remember that that scripture in the 20th chapter of Exodus, where the Ten Commandments are laid out there, that 17th verse says, "Thou shalt not covet," and listed everything that your neighbor has. His wife, his maidservant, manservant, all of his farm animals, and then it says, or anything that is your neighbor's. Don't covet it. Then Jesus said here in the 12th chapter of Luke's gospel in the 15th verse, take heed. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. It's time somebody knew who that bunch up there is. That's Mac Goldberg's bunch from Canaan land. Yes, amen. And anytime you, if you go to Canaan land and you're going to teach class there in their tremendous Bible school, and then this is a matter of their training and discipline, and you say, let's open our Bibles and we will read from Luke chapter 12, and that's what you get in every class. But now you've been letting down on one area. In class up there, in Canaan land, when you say, well, our time's up for the day, they all go, oh. They are an obedient bunch, aren't they? Amen. God love you. We appreciate you being here. Praise God. Amen. He said in the 15th verse, take heed. Let's do that right now. Take, you know what the word take means. There's more to the word take than just passiveness. Take is an action word.
That's right.
You take it.
That's right.
The Bible said, take unto you the full armor of God. Even though you have armor, it isn't worth anything till you put it on. I mean, your armor is not a very good doorstop. I mean, it neither is your Bible. Some Bibles are to hold the top down on the coffee table. So what's somebody do? Why don't you take that thing and read it? Why don't you do what? Take it and read it. It's action, see? Take this and do something with it. Take it. That's what the word receive means. Whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you, receive it and you shall have it. Amen. Believe that you take it now and you'll have it.
Thank you.
Praise God. So take heed. Listen. Take hold of what I'm telling you. And beware of covetousness. Covetousness is a way of thinking that continuously becomes more and more and more seemingly the thing to do and the right decision. It's the kind of thing that doesn't start off glaring. You're not good. You don't start off thinking, I'm going to go over and take that car away from that guy. He's got too many cars as it is, and I'm going to go get one of them. Well, right now, that's covetousness, but in a few minutes, it's going to be theft. But you get that in your heart, And you've already committed the theft because the covetousness is breaking that just the same as stealing it would. Because your spirit goes through the same action. Ah, Brother Copeland, I don't believe it's the same thing just because you thought it and saw it. Well, if that's true, pornography would never work. I mean, your emotions and your mind and your physical body actually, physically, don't know the difference. It goes through all of the same motion. Your spirit goes through the same motion. The Apostle John put it like this. He said, the man that loveth not his brother is a murderer. Well, he didn't kill him. I know it's not illegal not to love him. But your spirit goes through the same unbelieving death process and cuts off your faith the same as it would if you killed him. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about this inner man. Now then, Jesus said, beware of it. Covetousness is that way of thinking that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Looks like a perfectly logical decision that I need to make, and it looks like the thing to do. But come to find out, it was the ways of death, and it didn't benefit you. It will destroy you. So, covetousness is that way of thinking that will eventually lead you to make decisions to get what someone else has. And it can look so innocent, and the world is all for it. It's called marketing strategy. And it's covetous thinking. And it will bring you to committing the sin of coveting, which is really stealing. Satan is a thief. He steals. He kills. He destroys. That pattern Jesus laid out in that order because it's correct. The covetousness, then the stealing, then the killing, then the destroying. And you will process from one to the other. A man that becomes a thief is at heart a killer, even though he don't realize he is, but he will progress to the point because if it comes right down to it, he'll kill you to protect himself. And it's not self-defense. He's not actually protecting himself because he is a destroyer. So now, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. He did not say it was wrong to possess abundance of things. Amen. He said, it is covetousness. When you get into that way of thinking where you think you can't live without something. Think about that. Do you know you can covet people? One of the worst situations in the world are people that covet other people. What do you mean covet a person? Well, it's better known as being possessive. But then you can have a person that's really doesn't seem to be possessive in their nature. But then you hear them say, I don't know what I'm going to do. He's going to leave me, and I can't live without him. She'll bawl till she gets him back. And he's going to be worse than he was when he tried to leave. There's not, in my estimation, in the 42 years I've been in the ministry, I don't think I've ever found anything quite as deceptive and mean is a whiny, crying, possessive person. I just did it for your sake. You lying thing, you did it for your sake, and you know it. But now, listen, you can slip over into that where you get to thinking, I'm telling you, I don't know here, man, but I'm telling you, that new Mercedes, I mean, man, that thing got a hold of me. You're right. I got to have me one of them. And the more you think about it, the more you desire it, and the more you get to thinking, I'm not going to get me one of them. I got to have one of them. I just can't live without a new Mercedes. You're there. Now, you don't realize that's what you're doing. And that's the way Satan would just really enjoy keeping you in that kind of darkness. That's where he'd like to have you all the time, where he can just slip you right on in there, like this boy's grandmother told him. I'm going to tell you right now, you let the devil in the back seat, he's going to want to drive. Man, there's truth all over that, isn't it? You let him in the back seat, he got in there because he wants to drive. Hallelujah. Now, let's go once again. We've talked about this already, but I want to get you back into the process here because we do have a particular assignment for this afternoon. Let's go over to 1 John. Now, while you're turning over there, let me give you once more Jesus' definition of covetousness. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Doesn't pay a bit of attention to what God says. What does the word rich mean, or the word abounding mean? They really mean the same thing. It's having more than enough all the time. Now, it's not hoarding up. Now, that isn't rich. That's a poor man with money. It's not hoarding, it's being in the flow. That's what the blessing was designed to do, and that's what God was talking about when he told Adam, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. What do you mean, replenish? Well, does that mean, Brother Copeland, that the world was full and then got destroyed and he's supposed to replace it? No, it didn't say replace. You look it up. It says replenish. You're going to be using up things. You're going to be using up food. You're going to be using up land. You're going to be the thing that the earth is struggling with right now and hadn't got a clue how to fix it. Yeah. The earth is wearing out. And yeah, men, particularly greedy, cold-hearted men, do dangerous things where the environment's concerned. But I'm going to tell you right now, man does not have the authority to destroy this planet. But it's wearing out. The scripture says it will get old like a moth-eaten garment and have to be folded up and recreated. But that's not what God was talking to Adam about. He's talking to Adam about keeping it in constant supply. There's always more than you're using up. It's being rejuvenated. What's he talking about? The Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was supposed to grow and become larger. It was not supposed to go away. Amen. Somebody said, well, why was there gold in the Garden of Eden? The man didn't need to buy anything. Well, see, that comes from the Babylonian way of thinking. No, in God's way of thinking, gold is pavement. Come on. And he figured the boy's going to want to build a driveway one of these days. And so now the gold that was under the earth was for a totally different use. in the same arena with all of the radioactive materials and so forth. Radioactive materials were never supposed to be brought to the surface because that's not what they were there for. They were controlling the temperature of the earth, particularly the subterranean water that was to warm and rise and water the roots of the plants and then subside. All of that was in sheets until the fountains of the deep broke up and tore all that out of there. And we've got a lot of it now that's in mountains and so forth. Well, when the mountains shoved up there, that's when they came with it. Now, I didn't intend to get into all that, but I'm glad I did. I enjoyed it. but now, see, this man here is laying up treasure for himself. I mean, he's not rich toward God. Now, the reason he got killed that day is because he wasn't rich toward God. Rich or abundant means more of God than you need. Because he's not here just to meet your need. But wasn't that message good Jesse preached last night? Up to a point. And hey, you can tell him I said so. That thing of no, I'm just kidding, Jesse. And sometimes I think he does that to get back at me because I hammer on him all the time. But anyway, we had a lot of fun. So, but being rich toward God is to be led by God, is to be healed by God, is to be prospered by God, where all of your needs are met all the time, not through some other avenue or some other channel, but from the source. Hallelujah. And not only that, but get to enjoy his company. And you're just so rich when you're around him, and it's so wonderful. Gloria and I are rich in one another's love. Amen. Well, we're rich financially too, but the finances don't provide anywhere near like one another's company. Oh my, we enjoy one another's company. I mean, she and I do everything together. Everything. We're together almost 24 hours a day and have been for 47 years. Praise God. And it's more joyous and sweeter now than it's been in 47 years. I told her the other night, and it just kind of jumped out of my mouth, but I feel the same way about Jesus. She knows that Jesus is first place in my life. I know that Jesus is first place in her life. I know that. I don't question that, and I'm not jealous of it. I'm glad of it. Whew, yeah. It made both of us better. Amen. Oh, yeah. Because he's the richness of our life. So she and I both are rich in him. And I told her the other night, I said, Gloria, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. She said, why? I said, well, because every day for a long, long time now, I've loved you more than I did the day before. And I can't see how I'd love you any more than I do today. So I'm looking forward tomorrow to find out what that's like. we mess with one another. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Whew. Somebody said, you mean you still open a door for your wife? Yeah, and don't know you liberated women mess with her either. She don't want you messing up her deal. But I don't open the door because of etiquette. I don't have any couth. I lost my couth before I ever got saved, and I ain't hunted any since. But I do have good manners. Amen. Because you do live and walk by love. But I open the door because I love her. Yes. I open the door because I honor and respect her. Yes. Amen. She's a gift and a treasure from God. So I'm rich toward God in that area and with her. I also open the door for her because she, you know, particularly if you're in a little tight spot there between another car, somebody she got to get up pretty close to get me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm kind of, yeah, while she's going in the car. somebody that looks like me and acts like me that got somebody that looked like that. Faith works. And I'm going to take good care of it, praise God. Why is that? We've grown rich in one another. We enjoy one another's company. I could. I don't want to. I don't plan to. It's not part of my idea of the future. But I can live apart from her. She's not my life. Jesus is my life. Now, in the life he's given me, he gave me her. She's part of my life. Amen. Can you see what's in that? Now, if I move over there, oh God, I just hope nothing happened to Gloria because I just can't live without her. I move over into covetousness. I'm not trusting God. I've gotten over into fear. And fear will instantaneously lead you into covetous thinking. That's where it's based. Covetousness is fear dependent.
Airborne Records presents Strand of Pearls.
And that's part of what this album is about too, is just the getting set free by the joy of the Lord.
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul.
The first album really ministered peace. It was really peaceful and kind of more flowing. And the second album just really seemed to minister joy.
Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
It's fun. We have a good time and we laugh, and it's just a time of bonding and a time of just being a family, and it's just cool to see God, you know, do his thing.
Rock of ages, clap for me.
There's something happens when you listen to music and it's like your guard goes down. You can be tapping your foot to something or really in the back of your mind singing the words to something.
We can be the light to those people who don't know. And that's our job.
Light is you being a light in your land, whatever the land is. You can be a light in your land when you follow Christ, when you be in the light as he is in the light.
Light in the Land by Strand of Pearls. Order Light in the Land by Strand of Pearls for $14.98. This CD is packed with praise music that is sure to lift your spirit and draw you into a closer relationship with the Father. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order through our website at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. Enjoy the fresh and lively sounds of Strand of Pearls. For this and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
Light in the Land. This is the latest music CD release from the Strand of Pearls. And who are the Strand of Pearls? Well, it's my Aunt Kelly, my cousins, my sister Aubrey. This is a CD that I believe you'll really enjoy. It's a collection of classic songs, contemporary gospel songs, 13 songs. And they all kind of have this bluegrass sound to it. Very American. I know you'll really enjoy it. And you will like this experience. It's quite a musical experience. It'll encourage you. It'll uplift you. And you need to find things like this. Music, get music into your life. And you may think, well, I don't sing very good. Neither do I, man, but that doesn't keep me from singing at the top of my lungs, mostly when I'm alone. But you need to bring these kinds of things into your life. My wife, Sarah, is an anointed worship leader and song leader and songwriter, and she's taught me so much about how to enter into the presence of God through singing. Specifically singing the word. You need to get CDs like this and others. Order yours today and let it be a ministry to you. Now, in today's message, you found out all the way from the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, all the way into the New Testament, that the Scripture commands us, instructs us, thou shalt not covet. Don't covet what your neighbor has, not his wife, not his goods, not his house, his car. That is something that you and I must be aware of, because covetousness is a way of thinking. It's a way of processing that eventually will lead you to make decisions that to try to get what someone else has instead of looking to Jesus and getting what He's already got for you. And Jesus defined covetousness. He said, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Now, rich means having more than enough all the time, so you don't have to take from your neighbor. And I want to pray with you, and I want to be in agreement with you. Father, I thank you right now that by the help of the Holy Spirit, you're revealing to us, everybody watching and listening to this broadcast, you're showing us where covetousness has been a way of thinking. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, we are getting rid of it. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Lord. Now listen to me. We have got some great meetings coming up that we've planned for you this month, Behind the Mission Weekend, June 25th and 26th in Chicago, Illinois. That we're going to have Steve and Kelly Swisher. You're going to want to be a part of that if you're in that area. Then in July, Victory Long Beach, July 8th through 10th in Long Beach, California. Speaking there is going to be my mom and dad, George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland. Sarah and I will be there. So for more information on this meeting or anything going on here at KCM, just go to kcm.org. Now, a part of our outreach to you through kcm.org and through the internet, we've got some new exciting information for you. You can now connect with KCM online through our Facebook account, through Twitter. There is no excuse for not staying connected to what God is doing through your partnership and your friendship with this ministry. You can go to kennethcopelandministries.org or kcm.org. You can find out more information about that. Watch videos, read articles. It's a great way to stay connected. Praise God. Thank you so much for being a part of these broadcasts. We look forward to seeing you again all next week and then again on Sunday. This is Jeremy Pearsons reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website at kcm.org. There you can purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD or a copy of today's product. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of study tools designed to give you hope and help you find the answers you're looking for. You can also call our prayer line, 800-600-7395, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today. Next Sunday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Part of the equipment of the blessing is the plan. How do you do it? The blessing will teach you. God has a plan.